Morning, my name is Sammy Kabiemera, for those who do, it's the first time to be here. I always thank God for being in this church and thank God for the board of the elders who most of the time they give me opportunity to come and stand to speak the word of God here. So thank you, elders and the board, thank you for that. I'm very grateful for that. Before I go to my preaching of today, I would like you to see this clip of my family back in Africa, if it's ready, please. As Brother Yen was said, it's all about Jesus, and it's all about his love, and it's all about what he's doing. This is the time I went to Africa last year, 2015, and this is me with my family. That is in Africa. That's the place called Kasenyi. Can we keep going, please? Flip it. And this is me again with part of the family. Keep going. And that's the place I was living when I was in Africa. What a beautiful place. That's a good place. And you live there, you feel the presence of God. Amen. And this is the boy that you are praying for called Israel. He's the one you know. He's here with us all the time, but now he's in Uganda. And that was the day he got married, and when he tied his knot, and that's the wedding day. Keep going. And this is Joshua. That's a grandson. Yeah. And this is his mother, and Eva. You know, this year, Eva also went there. And we thank God for that because we came here a family of eight, and among eight of us, by God's grace, we've been almost, I was there, Eva was there twice, Samson was there, and Solomon went there, and Israel went there. You know, it's not easy to go and come back. It's costly. So, but God has been good for us. He's helping us to go and come, and we are trusting God even for great things. Is that the end? And this is Israel and his wife and their beautiful son. And we believe very soon, by God's grace, they will be here. God bless you. The Lord has put in my heart this beautiful topic, said, the beauty of hospitality in Christian life. The beauty of hospitality in Christian life. This is the topic that I'm going to talk about it. I know this is the first Advent today. We should be talking about Christmas. But again, as Ian said, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. His birth, his death and resurrection. It's about how God loves us and how he sent his son to come and save us. And I'm talking about the beauty of hospitality in Christian life. The truth of the matter is here. In every family, your family, my family, our families, there's some values that we do have, we do hold, we do practice in one way or another, depend to one family to another, that family has something so special that they want to practice and display outside to the community. Some, they want to greet people. Other, they want to welcome people to their homes. Other, they want to serve in the community. But every family, at least, you will agree with me, has some way, somehow, a value that we display outside to the community that is special. Very special. I remember back when I was young, my mom, when we were living in our village, my mom used to, she's still alive, but she's very in her 80s, she's very old. But when I was young, my mom used to, because our house didn't have a door to close, the door was always open. This is how it was. I'm sorry to say that. Thank you. Now, what happened was, around us, people who are in the neighborhood, they have children, and when my mom cooked, when she was cooking, the smell of the food, the aroma of the food is going all over the village, and people come, children come around, and then when it's ready, we sit together and eat. Sometime, unfortunately, we were not feeling good because the food was small and brrr, many people come in, and then you feel, oh, mom, but what am I going to do? But it was a value that I saw in my family, and I respect that. And Israel and Eva and Ruth also, I see they have that. Whenever we stay in our home there, 2 months, 1 month, no one is coming to visit us, and then you hear Ruth ask, Dad, no one is coming to visit us, why? I say, well, people are busy. So there are values that we family have. I don't know about your family, but you'll agree with me that there are some values that we hold on, that people hold on, that we display, that we practice. And it depends to one family and another, and it depends on the community. But we do have something that is special in us that God has put in us. How about you? How about your family? I don't know, but you know it. Now, we as a family of God, we as Christian, we as family of believer, in the Bible, there are too many good things that the Lord has put in us, we are exercising once the Holy Spirit is in us. Before you got saved, maybe you did not know to forgive one another. It was tough for you to do that. But once you become a Christian, things just goes quickly and easily. And one of the value that we do have as Christian is the simplicity of accepting one another, living together, and loving one another. Clap for Jesus for that. Hallelujah. We find throughout the world, Christian is a family, is a group of people where everyone, when they come together, they join the group, you feel home. You feel at home. You feel good. You feel you are in the group where you deserve and where you feel really at home. And that is the grace of God and the special value that we Christians have. Now, when you go to the book in the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. I want us to read there. It's in the Bible, in your pew. You can go to the page 1451, 1451, 1451, 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go there and read this passage. It's a long passage, but I want us to read from verse 7 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 7. The Bible says this: the end of all things is near. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful steward of God's grace in its various form, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now here we find Peter brings a couple of important points in Christian life. First of all, he points on the nearness of the end. He says the end of all things is near. And my brother and sister, I'm telling you, if you go to any church, if you attend a church where they are not telling you about the rapture, they are not reminding you about the coming back of Jesus Christ, you should ask yourself if you are in the right church. Because the Lord himself, when he was sending the disciple, he was telling them, go to the world, preach the kingdom, the news of the kingdom. Tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. So Peter is reminding here the Christian, the Jewish Christian, is telling them that the end of all things is near. And that is the point, my brother. If you see today all the signs that Jesus said in Matthew, all the signs are almost fulfilled. We are just waiting for one sign. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, that and the gospel of this gospel of the kingdom will be preached all over the world to serve as a testimony. That's the only single sign that we are just holding on and praying God so that the Lord will help people to spread the gospel and that every ear will hear about the kingdom of God, about Jesus. But almost all these signs are fulfilled and achieved. So the end of all things is near. And the question comes here, are you ready? If Jesus comes today, if he came yesterday, if he had come 1 year ahead, would you be ready? The end of all things is near. So we should live knowing that the Lord is coming. We should live expecting the rapture taking place anytime. We should live ready every day as children of God. So Paul is pointing on this point. He's saying the end of all things is ready. He comes again and say, because the end of all things is ready, be prepared in prayer. Live in prayer. Pray. The Lord says, pray because you do not know the day and the time. Pray because you don't know when the Son of God will come. He will come as a thief in the night. So pray. So our attitude as children of God, as we are waiting Jesus, we should anticipate his coming in the spirit of prayer. We should wait him as we live the life of prayer. Praying will help us to be ready. Praying will keep our faith strong so that when the day will come, we will not be distracted. The third thing Peter said here, he says, if necessary, that we should maintain love toward one another. And say above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. And that is true. I've realized that the world's greatest need is not money. If you think the world's greatest need is money, we are wrong. The world's greatest need is love. Everyone feels secured when he's loved. At work, everywhere, at your home, at your place, everywhere, anyone, you feel good on this world if you feel you're loved. You feel secured when you're loved. So the need of this world is not money. The need of this world is love. And thank God because of the church, because the grace of God has helped the church to display the love of God toward the world, and now people are coming to God. So Peter's saying here, above all, keep loving one another deeply. And the fourth point here, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, he adds a very practical point by saying there is need for hospitality. And what did he say? He said, practice hospitality without grumbling. Now, hospitality is a great, great point. English is my second language. If I ask you what is hospitality, I know you're going to give me a lot of definitions about this word, but I give it so simple. My definition is here. Hospitality is opening your home and your heart, generously sharing what God has given you with guests that God sent your way. What a beautiful definition. Hallelujah. So simple, no complicated, just easy. Opening your home and your heart. Because if you open your home without opening your heart, then your home will be a nightmare for someone to whom you've brought. That's true. You open first your heart, and then you open your home to welcome someone. And sharing generously what God has given you with guests that God sent you away. There's a big point here. Sharing generously what God has given you. Isn't it amazing when we think what God has done for our lives? Is it amazing when we see, we consider the blessing of God upon our lives? Is it amazing when you sit down and you count the blessing that God has bestowed on your life? Well, let me tell you, there is a place, even now as I'm talking, people do not have a place to call home. They don't have a place to call a house. There is, in this world, a place where people don't have something to eat. As I'm speaking now, there are places where people are starving to death. But is it amazing to see what God is doing in our life? So hospitality is that spirit, that grace, that supernatural spirit, which is in Christian life to open your home and your heart and generously sharing what God has given you with guests that God has sent in your life. Listen to this, church. We had brought nothing when we were born, and it is true that when we leave, we'll go with zero. We were born naked, and I'm sorry, we'll go this way. Turn to your neighbor, say, you came without nothing, and you'll take nothing. Can you tell now someone there? Oh, Church of God, turn to your neighbor, say, you came with nothing and you'll take nothing. Well, this is an African man. When you want me to continue with the preaching, you got to get evolved. Hallelujah. If you don't get evolved, I'll think you are not listening, you are not getting my point. Turn to your neighbor, say, you came with nothing, you'll take nothing. God bless you. Hallelujah. This is true. We came naked and we will take nothing. We will not take our car when we'll go to heaven. We will die. We will not take our houses. We will not take our bank account. We will not take our credit card, our debit card. Nothing. As a matter of fact, we'll just go meet the Lord and we don't need that there. And that's the blessing. So hospitality is considering the blessing of God. Understanding that everything I have is by grace. If I have a husband, it's by grace. If I have a wife, it's by grace. If I have a child, it's by grace. If I drive a car, it's by grace. If I have a place, it's by grace. I deserve nothing. It's only God's grace that bestows on me what I can call that belong to me. Any property, any belonging that I have, it's God's grace upon me. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of God. That's it. And the Bible says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. That's the Hebrew chapter 13, verse 2. The Bible says, do not forget to display, to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing. That's how the Bible brings it. Hospitality is for everyone. And when you display it, when you show, when you demonstrate hospitality to one another, there's huge blessing that you cannot even explain. In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, listen to this. Paul was saying something so significant. Look what he said here. Romans 12, verse 13, he says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Now, talking about hospitality, there are different levels that we do have in terms of sharing. Listen to this example. In some place, someone asks you if you want a cup of tea. You say no. And then he or she said, it's okay. Thank God he didn't drink my tea. That's another level of hospitality. Listen to another one. In other place, you go to someone's house and she asks you if you want a cup of tea. You say, no, thank you. You are really fine. She asks if you're sure. Are you sure you don't need coffee? Then you say, of course, you're sure. Then she react again. Really? You say, no, I'm okay. Are you sure you don't need anything? You say, well, I'm fine. And she continues, well, I'm going to get myself some coffee anyway, so if it will be no trouble, you could go and sit with me and then we can get together. And you say, well, if you were going to get yourself some, I wouldn't mind a cup of tea, and that's so long as it's no trouble and I can give you a hand in the kitchen. Then you finally end by getting a cup of tea. That's another level. So it means in terms of displaying or demonstrating hospitality, people also have different level. Some, they do this, okay, well, can I help you? No, oh, thank you. Good. The other say, can I help you? No, I'm good. Are you sure? But I see you have problem. I see you have need. So they go beyond the expected. They go beyond until, because we have different kind of people. There are other people who have need, but they're shy, they're ashamed, they can't show it. But that deep level of hospitality brings up and remove that shame and bring the glory of God to be displayed. It's very important, the hospitality. Let's see some importance here in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it was especially commanded by God. If you read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 to 34, the Bible says, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 to 34, the Bible says this: When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. If you go in the New Testament, you will find even Jesus' ministry depended entirely on the hospitality of others. Hallelujah. Not only that, when he was born, at his birth, hospitality was needed. We don't know how they treated him, but hospitality was needed. In the New Testament, you're going to find even this in the first church, the primitive church, the apostles. The reason why Christianity took place and engulfed the world and went and took place all over the world, in Jerusalem, in Middle East, everywhere, is because hospitality was the key. People were ready to give their place, to welcome ministers, to welcome sisters and brothers, and to support them throughout their ministry by displaying or demonstrating hospitality. In the church today, one of the best way to show that you have a good resume to be an elder of the church is when you display hospitality. Look what Paul says here in Titus chapter 1. The Bible says here that an elder is someone who also knows to practice hospitality. So hospitality is very important to the church, very important to every Christian, and very important also for ministers of God. Before, I did not know why pastors have to have a big van to drive. You find him, he has just one, he has his wife and one child, but he's driving a van. And ask yourself why? Because the spirit of hospitality. He has to give people a ride. You have to bring people to church. You have to take people for grocery shopping. He has to do that. Hospitality facilitates the work of God. A certain minister preached one day on heaven. The next morning, he was met by one of his wealthy members who said, Pastor, you preach a good sermon about heaven. You told me all about heaven, but you did not tell me where heaven is. Aha, said the pastor. I'm glad of the opportunity this morning. I have just come from the hill up there. In that cottage, there is a member of your church who is extremely poor. She is sick and in bed with fever. If you will go and take her a good supply of provision and say, my sister, I have brought this nice provision in the name of our Lord and Savior. If you ask for a Bible and read Psalm 23 and then get down on your knees and pray, if you don't see heaven before you get all through, I'll pay the bill. The next morning, the lady came and said, Pastor, I saw heaven and I spent 15 minutes in heaven as certainly as you are listening. So you see, hospitality brings you to another level of understanding or even seeing the dimension of the goodness of God. Hospitality is very important. So what are the beauty that we see when we display hospitality? I want to give you just four. Number one, it is the best way to share God's love with others, which can also attract angels to your home. I repeat this. It is the best way to share God's love with others, which can also attract angels to your home. As I said before, the biggest need of the world is not money, is not financial, it's spiritual. The world needs love. That's what we need. And if you think about Abraham, if you think about Lot, you see these people were very hospitable. And Abraham, even by his hospitality, the Bible says the angel visited his place. Same thing for Lot. So his hospitality is the best way to share God's love, which attracts the blessing to your life. Someone say the word welcome means I desire guest. Welcome means I desire guests. Hospitality number two, it shows others that I trust God to meet my need. I trust God to meet my need. Sharing your home, sharing your shelter, sharing your food, sharing your money, sharing the clothes, sharing whatever you have is not easy if you don't trust God. And it's only because you trust God that you do that, because it's not like you don't need it. It's not like you don't need your place. It's not like you don't need your food. But you do it because you trust God to meet your need. Praise the name of God. Hallelujah. Amen. There are in the Bible people who failed that. They didn't pass that test of hospitality. You know, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. When they knew that the word of God is keeping up, and then they saw the disciple and the people on that time, they were sharing what they have, their belongings, selling their belongings and giving to God. And they were overwhelmed. They said, well, can we try that? And they proposed to do it. And then they went to the disciple and said, you know what, we have this to give to God. After they went home and then they realized and they sat together in their committee and started thinking about what they're going to give, they decided not to do it and they failed. They failed to pass that test, and that's not easy. So hospitality is only easy when you do it as you trust God. Do you know the story of Elijah and the widow? When Elijah went to the widow, and then the widow had nothing but the small food that she had just for her family, and that's it. It was the famine time. Very terrible situation. But Elijah said, cook this for me. Let me eat first. And then you're going to see what will happen. And you know the story. When she served Elijah, she was blessed. And she didn't miss nothing. She didn't lack nothing. So hospitality is easy and possible when behind it, the motive is, I trust God to meet my need. The third part that I give you, the third point, is hospitality displayed in family manner is very meaningful. So how do we display, how do we show hospitality? The best way is to show hospitality in family manner, in family way. Let me explain it simply. Number one, the best way to display or to show hospitality to your neighbor, to your brother, to your people coming to your way, is to show them hospitality simply. Don't be complicated. Do it in the simple way. Don't make it a big big problem. Make it just simple. Make it just simple. Number two, make it sincerely from your heart. Don't do it because you are pushed, or your husband is pushing you, or your wife is pushing. Let's come from your heart. Number three, do it in a funny way. Make it like something funny. In African proverb, they say this. Listen to this. There is African proverb that say, the house is never small for the family. This is an African proverb. You are learning it already. It means, even though your house has only 2 bedrooms, you can fit in even 20 people. Well, those who've been in Africa, they understand that. Why? Because they know that we treat anyone in the family as a member of the family. So if it's a member of the family, they're going to find a place anyway. So that's how the best way to treat someone, you show or you display hospitality to him. You treat him or you treat her as a member of your family. Let's face it, brother and sister. If in your family, your daughter or your son or your wife or your uncle or your niece or someone in your family got sick, are you sure you're going to keep quiet and let him die there without taking him to the hospital? Of course, no. You'll do something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will do something. So if you treat a friend, someone God has brought in your life, you treat him or her as a member of the family, hospitality will not be an issue. So the best way to display it is treat it in a funny way and friendly and as a part of your family. There is another African proverb that says this. Listen to this. There is another African proverb that say, a small thing does not deserve to enter in your eye, but can enter in your mouth. Let me explain it. A small grain of millet or a small grain of, let's say, maize or corn, if it goes to your eyes, it will hurt you. Yes, church? But are you sure it cannot help someone who's hungry? It cannot go to your eyes, but it can go to your mouth. Which means nothing is small when it's given from the heart for help. Praise the name of God. Number four, hospitality is always rewarded when I serve others as if I was serving Jesus. I want us to read here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. The Bible says, Colossians 3, 23, 24, the Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for the human, but for the Lord. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So whatever we do, by work, by deed, anything you do as a child of God, do it as for the Lord. When you do it as for Christ, then the reward will come. But when you do it as for the person or for someone, then there is no reward for it. You know, the very dangerous part about serving God, or the dangerous part about hospitality, or doing good, or sharing, or doing something good for the community of the church, the dangerous part of it is when you ring the bells. You see this shirt someone is putting on? I'm the one who gave him. You are ringing the bell. How about the shoes? Oh, the shoes you put today? That's me. You see that guy's driving? I'm the one who bought this for him. Or else it could be nothing. Don't ring the bell when you're doing good. Hallelujah, church. Do it as for the Lord. Praise the name of God. Do it as for God. And that is the beauty of hospitality. Because when you do it as for the Lord, you forget it. You say, Lord, I do it for you, and glory be to your name, and God bless you. But when you do it and then you just ring the bells and tell everyone, you know, this is what I'm doing. If it was not me, this could not happen, then it's not, you already got your reward. There is nothing you can expect from God. So do not speak about it. Don't gossip on what you did, but let only God see and let God bless you. That's why Jesus was saying, when you are giving, do not let your left hand see what you're doing. It means things that you're doing for God from your heart, you want God to know and see it. And that is your desire. And God will bless you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to finish by people who benefited from the hospitality in the Bible. I want to tell you about Rebecca. You know the story of Rebecca? When Abraham sent his servant to go look for his son, wife, you know what happened? The servant went there on the camels. He met Rebecca at the well. And Rebecca decided to water the wells and give water for the servant. You know what happened? Boom! Rebecca got a husband. Hallelujah! Rebecca's husband, Rebecca's marriage emanated, it came from her hospitality. Because Rebecca did not ask his father, let me call my father and ask if it's good for me to give her water for this stranger. Stranger is danger. She didn't say that. When she saw that servant was thirsty and the camel were thirsty, what did she do? She just said, oh, can I serve you? Can I help you? Can I give you water? Can I serve? Can I feed? Can I water your camels? She did not ask advice from no one. And she served this servant of Abraham. And then this servant asked her, where is your place? Can I go with you? She said, let's come. She took them to their place. Hospitality was there. And after all, that was the answer for this Abraham servant prayer. Because he asked, Lord, the one who will serve me water and serve my camel, I will know. That is the sign. And Rebecca got married, and today we know that Rebecca is in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Clap for Jesus Christ, hallelujah. So hospitality is so huge that it's part of our DNA. In the Bible, we know about the Rahab, that the prostitute Rahab. You know the story, when the spy came to spy the place, they were about to be killed, and then Rahab opened the door for them. Though she was a prostitute, she opened the door for them, and they were protected because of Rahab's faith. And you know, Rahab is in the list of among those who have great faith in Hebrews chapter 11, just because of hospitality. Zacchaeus, you know the story of Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus, he climbed on the tree, he came down. After then, he took Jesus to his place. What happened? He encountered with the Lord in a different and an amazing way. The Holy Spirit showed him that he was a thief. And then he said, Lord, if I took something from someone, I'll pay even many times. So that was the blessing of hospitality. You can name it. Cornelius invited Peter and all his family got saved. I can give you again and again and again in the Bible. There is a way. I can't even finish because hospitality is almost everywhere in the Bible. I thank God to be in Canada, and we should be proud of being in this beautiful country, Canada. Look what we are doing. People are coming from all over the world. Like this year, people came from Syria. People are coming from different places. Why? Because we are people of hospitality. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. And I know God will bless this country, and I know God will bless even the Prime Minister. Why? Because we are people who are We are the hands of hope for people who are hopeless. We are the voice of hope for people who are in need. Brothers and sisters, there is beauty in displaying or demonstrating hospitality as a child of God. We have been blessed. God has blessed us sufficiently. Let us display hospitality to people. Let us open our hand for those who are in need. Let us be open up to those who we can help. And I'm telling you, that will be our way of spreading the gospel. And people will see the love of God, and people will see God. May the Lord help you. May you take time to think one way or another where you can be evolving in showing this hospitality to others in the community, at home, at school, everywhere. There are too many ways you can do that. But the Bible says, do not forget to display or to practice hospitality, because this is one of the best value we as Christian have or we have inherited in the Lord Jesus. I pray that the Lord help you. I pray that the Lord help me. I pray that the Lord help all of us, that this church, Mountain View Fellowship Christian Church, would be a hospitable congregation. The church where people will come when they're thirsty, they'll be okay. People will come when they're hungry, they'll be fed. People will come when they have problem, they have fear, they'll have joy, they'll have peace. People will come when they have fear, they'll have freedom in this place. Let us be a hand of hope, a voice of hope for hopeless and people in need. God bless you. Father, we thank you for this message. You want us to be hospitable people. You want us to use whatever you've blessed us with to the advancements of the kingdom, your kingdom, O Lord. And who are we to be effective in your kingdom? It's only by your grace. So thank you that by blessing us, you want us also to be a blessing for others. Open the doors, open the opportunity so that we can exercise this beautiful hospitality task. Bless your church. In the name of Jesus, amen.